have the first part of the CD.
Okay, we do have Romans 5, right? Romans 5. And again, the title is What is Grace? We spoke about this a little bit last week. And I'm just going to read that before we get started. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Father, we thank you today for this time. We thank you for that privilege and opportunity as we continue to study your word. We pray that as we study these things that we consider to be basic truths, we pray that you would open our understanding, that we may have a better understanding of your purpose and plan and where we fit. We thank you for those who are here. We thank you for the body universal. As we go forward, once again, we just pray that you would give increase to your word, to our understanding and our conviction. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. As Louise mentioned last week, she said, well, grace is, most people say grace has always been, and they'll use that example, which is our first one in Genesis 6, where it said, well, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? And last week we gave some examples, some definitions that we put on the top of the page, and you can see we listed about 8 or 9 things where we said grace is. These are definitions that we came up with last week, or that the class came up with. God's riches at Christ's expense, unmerited favor, and Sharon said Jesus, which is a person, Jesus, God's provision, God's whole plan, a gift, righteousness, forgiveness, God's character, and salvation. Those are just some things that we listed that was our understanding of grace, of what it was. And really, as you go forward, it's all those things. So you see that one word encompasses a lot of scriptural truth. Now, let's look at Genesis 6, verse 8, and when we talk about, we're going to try to find out what's the difference about a person receiving grace and us being in the dispensation of grace.
Does the word grace come from in the Old Testament, New Testament? Does it come from in the original language? Is it the same word?
It is the same word, and it really it means it. It comes up to favor, to a gift. The word transliterated, and it comes to us in English, is really not changed. The sense of it is still there. And what we'll find out is, without God's grace, we can't have any of these things that we listed on top of the page. We can't be workers with him. And that's the whole aim that grace does. Grace is what we need to equip us for service, to educate us, and as what God is doing. And when you go through and you see where these men that we just listed a few that received grace, you'll find out that they got all those things that were on the top of that page and more that we haven't listed. And not just those men, those were just key men that we focus on in Scripture, but all those who are, I would say, types of the Lord Jesus, they had to receive grace. So look at Noah. Well, we started in the beginning. Adam, just not on the page, but Adam, would you say he received grace?
Sure.
Why would you say that?
Well, I know that when the Lord took him out of the garden, clothed him, made provision for him, because only by blood shed, right? And he protected him from taking and eating of the tree where he would have lived forever in a fallen state.
That's afterwards he did. What about before that? He walked with him. He talked with him. Anything else?
He created him to
have a relationship with him.
He educated him.
So Adam was under a great grace until he fell.
Yeah, because he was basically born into grace, wasn't he?
He was basically right. You could say he was created into grace. That's why when we study scripture, that's why he gives us two heads. Adam and what? And Christ is called the what?
The second
Adam.
In this verse says Noah was perfect.
Okay. All right. Genesis 6:8. We'll read that. Genesis 6:8. Now let's start at verse 1, just so we can see why Noah stood out. And it came to pass, chapter 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives, of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, before we look at that, you have to go back to Adam. Because when Adam was created, Adam was to, we'll say it this way, Adam was to pass that grace on to men. When he told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. So his seed, if they were a gracious seed or a seed that fit for the master's use, they would propagate, they would be more Adam, wouldn't they? More Adam-like. But he failed. And we are more Adam-like, but not in a good sense, right? So, and you notice in chapter 5, in Genesis chapter 5, after Adam fell, the scripture said that Adam was created in the image of God, right? But after that, he fell, he had a son in his image. That's not how he started off. So you ever heard this? Or they say, well, we are all created in the image of God. No, this verse says that Adam, we were created in the image of Adam. Something was missing. When he lost that grace, notice the top of your page. It says, God's provision, God's whole plan, gift, righteousness, forgiveness, God's character. Did Adam lose God's character after the fall? Mm-hmm. Now, one word that's not on there is his presence. And which is the same as the glory of God. But what I'm getting at here is Adam. When Adam fell, he lost some things that most of us are not aware of, because we would know that we are in His image, as He's our head. We're in Adam now. All people who are born into this world, they're in Adam. When I say in Adam, they're in what? They're born in what? In sin. They're not born in grace. Yes. But what do you mean? Was it limited to him?
In Genesis, when it says we're born in the image of God, so that's not for us.
No. Well, look at this way.
Would have been if he hadn't failed.
If he had not failed, right?
Okay.
Because with Romans 5, it says this: by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon
all men.
Is that you?
Okay.
Are you in the all? Okay. Some of us don't think we're in the all. And death passed upon all men, for that all have what?
Sin.
Now, even though we didn't, as scripture say, even though we didn't sin after the similitude of him, we still what? Sinned.
Yeah.
Now, we think of this in the bad sense. You know what we think of? When we think of sin, we think of smoking, drinking, stealing. We think of all moral, fleshly sins. But all it means is that you are not operating in faith. Which means faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by what? Means that you're not doing what?
Hearing the word of God.
You're not hearing it, and you're not what?
Doing.
You're not doing it. Which means you're not operating under grace. Does that make sense? Okay, let me back up. Is what I'm trying to, we're going to find out that grace is we looked at these words on the top of the page. When you think of grace, this is what we should be thinking of, is we have a chance today to be totally equipped to work with God with no conditions. That's the thing today. There's no conditions. When he says you're under grace, that means that he's done something for us. He's given us a chance to get back into this state before Adam fell, to be a worker with him, to labor with him, to fellowship with him, to have a relationship with him that was never experienced in his fullness since Adam fell.
Yeah, the original plan.
Okay. So, I don't know if I'm saying too much. Am I saying too much? Okay. But let's go back to there where Angie asked a question. Yes, that includes us, that we are all under sin. When we're born, you don't have to teach your son and your daughter to do wrong.
It comes natural.
Do you? They pretty much have it perfected. How old are you?
13.
13, yeah. 13.
The number of us.
So
it's a genetic disposition.
It's genetic, right. It comes through the blood. Matter of fact, through the male seed. So, we're in Genesis 6. where God sees that wickedness had increased in the earth. Was that his design? Well, what happened? Did God's plan, did it not work out? Was it God's fault that the plan wasn't working? Well, what happened?
It was the wickedness of man and the imagination of the thoughts.
Okay, well listen. If he created man in his image, if he created man in his image and he was supposed to work with God, right? Mm-hmm. How did it turn out that he became so evil, which is, evil is another word for what? For sin. How did it work out that he became so disobedient?
The image was marred.
Because the image was marred. That's how you know something happened when he says that Adam begot Seth in his own image. Well, you know Abel's what? He's dead. Abel's dead. Cain, he's already proven himself to operate without faith. So he has another seed. And Eve says, well, maybe it's him. Maybe it's him that'll get us back on track. But the scripture says, nah, because he is in the wrong. He's in the wrong
image. The image is corrupted.
So as it's corrupted. It's corrupted. So as we go forward, and you read in scripture, even from Genesis, on to Revelation, you are going to be looking for grace to get us back to that image. And again, that's not just being privy or understanding what God is doing. It's working with him. It's having a relationship with him. And as you go through, you're going to see all these men, Noah. But it said, where we at? 6:8. It was wickedness in the earth. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and fowls of the air. What's that? How many is that?
Four.
That's all creation. Four. I'm saying that's all creation. He says, for it repented me that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me ask you something. Was Noah made in the image of God?
No.
How do you know that?
Because he came after Seth.
So, God, if Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, let's see. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a
just man.
Just man, what? And?
Perfect.
Perfect.
In his generations.
And what?
Walked
with God. Now, as you go forward, these are all key words that we could appreciate today. We should. Just. That means God looked at him that he was what? God looked at Noah, he was what? Righteous. He was perfect. God looked at him and he was what?
Uncorrupted.
Okay, we'll use that. I say mature. And he walked with God. Let me ask you a question. if you had to give me one word to describe Noah's relationship with God, what would you use?
Faith.
Thank you. You know he operated in what? Faith. Hebrews said this, but Noah, being warned of God about the coming flood, built an ark to the saving of his house.
He responded but in faith to the words that the Lord gave him.
He responded in faith.
That's what I was saying. Faith in what?
Faith in what?
Building an ark.
Building. Look.
Rain, doesn't know anything about a flood.
He didn't look. He didn't know anything, right, Bob? He couldn't just sit there and say, "Well." He had to have, and this is the difference about receiving grace and then us in the dispensation of grace is this. Noah couldn't sit down and say, "I know it's coming," and park. He couldn't just sit down and say, "Well, we'll just wait." God says, "No, you do what? You build. You build. Do what I tell you to do. You build." So if he didn't build, he gets no salvation. So his grace was accompanied by what?
Action.
And that action was what?
Building
the ark. And that... Say it again?
I'm sure it didn't make sense to him, but he just, by faith, I'm going to do it.
Because I what?
Believe.
I believe God. That's what makes me different from everyone else who's walking in the imagination, in their evil imaginations, is this. The difference between unbelievers and believers is what?
Faith.
Believers believe. Believers believe God. Unbelievers don't.
And they believe God, not what they say God says.
They believe God, not what they think he said.
Yeah.
Because he said this. Okay, Noah. This is what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. And he went and got his tools and he started to build. Pow, pow. No. He said, I want you to build an ark of gopher wood and pitch it in, within and without, with pitch. And these are the dimensions.
He gave him a plan.
It wasn't like just a random raft.
You know what? Just build. Okay. Do you think it just... Use your imagination. Do you think that when the waters started to rise, that there were some makeshift arcs?
Oh, yeah. They didn't want to do it God's way. They did it their own way.
But the scripture said when Noah went in and the Lord shut him in. So, again, he didn't get the... Without... The faith, he doesn't get what?
The grace.
The grace. What is the grace for him? It's all that. The salvation, the person, the relationship, the favor. All that goes together. Okay. But he was not in the dispensation of grace. Because like Bob said... He had to do something. If he didn't do that something, he would not receive that grace. Because there's others who didn't do that something. Was the grace available for them?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
He left that door open for 7 days.
He left that door open for
7 days.
I bet some of the people back in the day probably even helped them build it, but didn't believe.
He left that door open for 120 years.
Yeah. Where did I get the 7 days?
So he said 7 days after this, after the ark was done, he said 7 days and it's over.
Okay.
120 years. You know what?
People saw him building something.
Who's that guy? And they said, that's Noah. Then your son is asking you, Mike, your son, you're back in Noah's day. Your son said, who is that, Dad? Oh, that's Noah. What's he doing?
Building an
He's building the ark. What's the ark? He says it's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know. What's wrong with him? I don't know. He said he heard from God. Mike has a son, Michael the Third. Hey, Dad, who's that? Oh, that's Noah. What's he doing? 120 years, the ark was in preparation. He preached for 120 years about what was going to happen. A long time, right? So, maybe the average lifespan then was different. But for us, maybe 70 years. That's three lifetimes, almost. Well, two. My maths. That's 14. So, but anyway, if they didn't believe, which they didn't, how many missed out on the grace? Everybody but what?
Noah and his family, the seven.
Everybody but eight people. Now, that'll tell you one thing, one extra thing. God is not in the majority. Just look at this room. You pass cathedrals coming here. You pass the parking lot. You can't get a spot in the parking lot, but very few of them are operating in faith. Mm-hmm. Which means that they are really not recipients, appreciative recipients of what? His grace. Because they don't understand it. That's why I say you can talk about it, but there's very few people that understand what you mean when you say we're under, not under the law, but under grace. Okay, Genesis 12, Abraham. Here's another man. In Genesis 12, did Abraham receive grace?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He says in verse... Abraham was called the what? Father of? Father of nations. And the father of what?
Israel.
Father of faith. He's called the father of faith. Now the Lord has said, 12:1, has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram, what?
Believe.
Departed. Or it says the next verse, he departed. But we know this about Abram. And Abram believed God, right? And it was counted to him for what? Now, we know a lot about Abraham that's not on this page. We know that God promised him a son, whereas yet he had no seed. And God waited till Abraham and his wife were old
and unable
in their own strength to have a son. And when he was 99... and Sarah was 90, God delivered on his what? On his promise. Did he receive grace? Yeah, he knew it. And look, he said this. Look at 12, I'm sorry, look at 15. Genesis 15, I'm sorry. 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. What's the word of the Lord? Anybody. Anybody. What's the word of the Lord? Synonym for a word of the Lord. Scripture. I like that. What'd you say?
Truth said Jesus.
Okay. Well, that's the word. We're going to get to that word, too. But that's great. You can say it. It's scripture. Even though he didn't have it written, God at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past. This is one way he spoke. He spoke to them in visions, in dreams. He speaks to you how?
Through his word.
Through his word, not in your visions and your dreams. I know they tell you that. They tell us that today. The Lord told me. The Lord told me, Jenny, if he can't point to a verse,
then you had too much pizza.
After these things, the word of the Lord, 15:1, came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my own house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy what?
Seed be.
And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So God takes Abram out and he says, Count the stars. And he says, I can't do it. And he said, That's your seed. What did he do?
He who?
Abram.
Believe.
What else?
Nothing.
That's why in Romans, Paul said that he's the father of us all. He's the father of us all. Paul can say that about this Abram. Because this Abram, he did what? Nothing but what?
Believe.
But believe. Now, that's in Genesis 15. Now, 17, he had to get circumcised. That's where people say, well, you got to do something. But 17, well, that's a totally different story. But Paul said in Romans 4, in 5, he said, Abram is the father of us all. He believed God, and God counted it to him for what? For righteousness. And he said that Abraham, was strong in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He gave glory to God, and he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, that he was able to perform. And he said, and God counted it, and God imputed it to him for righteousness. And know what Paul said? He said, did he say that just for Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed? And he said, not just for Abraham, but for you, for us also who shall believe. Now, he uses that Abraham as an example. Why didn't he use Abraham in circumcision as an example?
Because that's the difference between the program.
Because what? It was introduced a work. it introduced a work. So 17, he can say, well, you got to do something to be justified. But 15, he says, you do what? Do nothing.
Because he was counted righteous before the circumcision.
He was counted righteous before the circumcision. Exactly. That's why Paul uses Abram before the circumcision as an example.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I noticed that sometimes when I tell people that, they'll go to James, where James says, was not our father Abraham justified when he offered up Isaac?
Right.
And I just think that's a difference.
That's a difference.
A distinction that people don't make.
And that's a distinction that you have to make, because when we're talking about being under grace, what it means, Abram, he was under grace right here. Straight grace. Straight grace, no chaser. But 17, he still received grace, but it was conditional. Upon what?
Action.
Upon action, which was what?
Circumcision.
Even after that, in 19, when James says that Abraham was considered righteous after he did what? Offered Isaac. That's conditional. But that's years after God had said what?
He was declared righteous.
After he was declared righteous, then one guy would say, well, he was righteous by circumcision. No. Another guy says, well, he was righteous when he offered Isaac. No. If you keep up, God says, no, he was righteous when he believed what I promised him.
And I believe Abraham, since God had already told him he was going to have lots of seeds through this child. So I know he did an action, but he still had faith, knowing that Sarah's womb was dead and brought that to life. Then he had that promise with the seed from the son. So that whole time, him walking up there, I believe he just trusted God, and that faith was strong.
Like, he did.
He's going to bring him back to life, or something's going to happen. So he was walking in faith and acting upon it.
Right. He knew some. Again, see the top of the page there?
Mm-hmm.
It said God's whole plan, God's provision, God's character. See, when you are operating in faith, you're listening. God has said some things to you. Look, can you imagine this? We don't get stuck on Abraham, and I'm just doing this as a fictional account, where Abram's in his hut with all his gods, and we use this example. He's got all his gods lined up around the shelf, and you hear it, Abram. He's got to decide which one it is. And he's looking, Abram. And he said, none of those is the true and living God. So he might have had 30 gods in the room, but none of them qualified, because this one is speaking. This one is the living God. And he says, yes, Lord. And he says, what would you have me to do? He said, first thing, what?
Get out of
that place. Mm-hmm. With all those gods. And he said, and he started to collect them up. And he said, uh-uh. Nope. Yeah. You have to leave those. And he says, you come out to a land where I'm going to show you. Why did he ask him to leave his country and his kindred? Because they were all what? Idolaters. So did he receive grace? The minute God said, I'm picking you, and I'm going to start a new nation, a new thing with you. That's great grace. And Abram goes out. He didn't even know where he was going. And then when he gets there and he had a little experience and he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, I don't have any kids. He said, let's take a walk. And he takes him out there and he says, look around, look up, look out there. He said, count the stars. I can't. He said, that's your seed. Now, he didn't understand all that. But he what? He believed God. And God counted it to him for what? For righteousness. Is that the same grace that we receive?
Same grace, different way.
It's a different scenario. But he's still a part of God's purpose and plan. God has still made a provision for him. He still fellowship with God, has a relationship with God. He had obtained salvation. All these things are included. So we see that he brought him forth. And 6 says, 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? For righteousness. Now, we're going to move over to, I said Romans 4, we quoted that. That Abram is the father of us all because we believe just like he did.
Plus nothing.
Plus nothing. That's the thing. See, grace through faith. Plus what?
Nothing.
Now, some would say, like Johnny said, grace through faith, and they said plus circumcision. But that's true. Afterward. Or they would say grace through faith plus sacrifice. When he offered Isaac, they would say, no, but that's true too. But they forget the first one without understanding why those other things were involved. At Noah, grace through faith plus what? Plus the ark. Now he gets to you and he says, grace through faith
plus
faith plus nothing. Wait, what do you mean? Nothing?
Belief in his full and complete provision.
That's it? That's what's hard for people to realize is you have no part in this but what? Faith. That's when he says we have access into this grace wherein we what? Stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I have access. We have access. You know, I was watching the turtles the other day on the log. You know, when the sun's shining, they climb out on the log and they just sit there. Like this. They look up and you ever seen it? They just and I said, I wonder how they feel. It was really like that. And I stop working sometimes because I don't want to disturb them.
Oh, whatever reason.
I do. I say, you know what, man, I hate to go down here and get them off that log. So I'll wait a while. Because they're, you know what? They're standing in that grace.
Mm-hmm.
They're just enjoying it. Here I come. And they're like, oh. They all jump off into the water. You know, like, sorry, guys. I got to do this. But that's where, you know what? I stand in that grace. Do you? I know I had no part in it. I know there's a complete, total provision that has been made for me without my works. Do you know that? And I stand in it. You have access. How many believers have access into that grace? How many stand in it?
Few.
Why not?
Because
They don't understand. You can say, look, we're saved by grace. I know. But you have to what? Whatever you want to add to it.
Kind of like a lack of faith.
Kind of like a lack. That's what it is.
They understand.
It's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of understanding that God has provided in His Word.
It's a lack of
maturity.
Faith comes by hearing.
Hearing by the word of God.
Listen, it's not God's fault that believers are ignorant of what He said because it's here. That's why you are so important when you go out there and you start. You can't start with the mystery because He doesn't even know what this means.
That's right.
Am I right, Bob?
Yes. You don't even know that part. It's hard to even begin with.
Because he'll say this. Well, Paul said that. What? What do you mean Paul said that? Of course he did. Well, Jesus didn't say that. Really?
Where did Paul get it?
So,
that's why Paul said that God would have all men be saved, first step, and come into a knowledge of the truth. The expansion of...
Listen, he is not aware really what scripture is.
Right.
Which means he doesn't really even understand faith. Okay.
But they don't believe this is the word of God. It's like,
so you already lost.
Yeah, what do you mean kingdom? What? I don't even know that.
You already lost him. You already lost them. Exodus 33. We looked at this last week. Do you think Moses found grace?
He was a proper child.
Listen, God, by faith, Moses' parents hid him. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he led the children of Israel out. 33:16, we looked at that last week. Verse 11, 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I don't know if I care how many times I read that. It always stands out where you have Moses who, would you say he experienced a relationship with God? Listen, he's 40 years in the palace. And he knows that he's the deliverer. By faith, he knew that. At some point in his life, God says, you're... And I think he always knew it. Because his parents hid him by what? Do you think when they were telling him that it's like, you're a little different. See, God's got something. God's got something for you now. When you get up in the palace, don't forget who you are. Mm-hmm. And he's growing. That's what the scripture said. When he was full of 40, he went out. And he went out to see. He said, hey, you know who I am, right? The only person knew was him. Well, his parents. But he went out and he did some things that he assumed that they knew. But God used him anyway to bring those children of Israel out through Egypt. We talked about the signs and the wonders that he showed in Egypt. And we asked last week, do you think that was glorious? Do you think that God showed them his glory coming out of Egypt? Okay. And Moses says to God, he asked a question. He says, show me. You said that I found grace. What made him question God? You don't have to guess. When God says, I'm going to destroy them because they were so disobedient. Now, God said he spoke to Moses. That's good right there. That's good. But he spoke to Moses face to face. And Moses' job was to relay it to the people. Was that he was fully aware of God's plan, God's provision. He knew. And no ambiguity. That means it wasn't a gray area there. But when God says, I'm going to kill those people, all of a sudden, what was really clear became gray. Because you mean to tell me that you brought these people out of Egypt, through the desert, through the wilderness, to kill them? What am I missing here? That's why Moses said, if you don't go up with us,
I'm out.
Like Shark Tank. I don't think I can trust you, God. I'm out. But because, you know, the plan had, he started to question it. And God reassured him. He says, I'll go. I'll go with you. My presence will go. He said in verse 17, And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So the key word is what? Gracious. They should have known, and God told them, this is where we're going, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And all the way, you have one man who was
keeping it together.
He was, I would say, he was standing in that grace. Well, three men. Moses,
Joshua,
and Caleb. But the rest of them, he says, they weren't strong in that grace. And he did what?
He
let them walk around until they all died. Now, so you go to Moses. Moses had grace through faith plus what?
No, he saw he had.
Plus what?
Works.
Plus works. Because he gave them what?
Law.
He gave them the law afterwards. But the rest of them, as soon as they got in, they gave them the law. Did they keep it?
No.
No. Now, for time's sake, we're going to have to switch down to, for us, in Ephesians. Ephesians 3. What's it, like 7 verses? I can't even get 7 verses down. For this 3:1, for this cause, Ephesians 3:1, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the grace of God. The dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you
read,
you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof, of the gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now that's a lot. But Paul says, I want you to understand that we are, he says, I have the dispensation of grace. That is for all of you Gentiles,
that believe.
He says, this is the dispensation of grace, that you might understand the unsearchable riches of Christ. And see, in a nutshell, is that on the top of that page right there? The unsearchable riches of Christ is that he has done everything possible, required to restore us back to the image of God, which means he's done everything that we need. See, the top, everything we need to have the riches of God, the unmerited favor, the provision of God, his whole plan, the gift, all those things.
Plus more.
We just stopped naming them last week. But listen, salvation, justification, sanctification, imputation, redemption, transformation, confirmation, imputation. They go on and on. He says God has all those riches.
And he says, and in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches.
And he says, now, how do you get that? Do you want that? Do you want that?
Sure.
So how do you get that? By grace, through faith. Wait a minute.
Nothing?
Surely, he wants me to do something. All that?
We believe the scriptures. We believe the word.
What can I do? What can I do? Lord, what can I do? When Paul said, what would you have me to do?
Sell all you have.
And he said, you know what? Just get up on the log. Just because, listen, he knows this. Paul says that I labored more abundantly than they all. But not me. It was what? The grace of God that was with me. When you look at that list and you say, when you start adding to in your studies, when you start adding to that list, and you have acceptance in the beloved, you have rest, you look at all those things and you say, how can I not appreciate this? He said, tell you what, Johnny, when you go to work tomorrow, work as unto me. You know, don't cheat the clock. Work like you was working for me. You know, the extra long break you take, he said, remember as unto the Lord. Or you're at home and you're dealing with your kids, or you're dealing with your parents. And just those little things that he said, you know, let me work. That's one of those things too, where this is part of the image, is what Adam was supposed to do is live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Total obedience, submission. That would his total worship and service would be to what? To God. Are you there? Watch this. Ephesians. I said one. This is, we're in the same book. Ephesians 4:17. And we're going to stop there. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That sound familiar? Back in Noah's day, they all walked in their vain imaginations, which means that they weren't what? They weren't following. They weren't acting in faith. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the what? Ignorance. There you go. Ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you, believers, have not so what? If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now look, Paul, this is Ephesians. Paul knows you haven't heard from Jesus. Have you? How do you, this is going back to what Bob just said, is when you don't understand faith or scripture, then you will put the red letters above what Paul said. Paul said, listen, when you heard from me, when you hear from me, you heard from Jesus, because I'm his apostle. That's Apostle 101. Yep. I have a message sent from God to you. Do you hear me? God said, do this.
And if they got a hold on the red letters say that whoever I send,
receive him.
Receive me.
He says, now, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you renew your mind?
Word.
That, and that ye put on the what?
New.
How do you put on new man? That's knowledge.
Right.
That's right. Which the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. That takes you. You know where that takes you? All the way back to the garden. He says, now he created the Christ is the one who enabled us to partake of that new man. Now, we'll get to that in the future, but he says, now you be renewed in your mind after the new man who's created in the image. The new man is this, Jenny, is when you got the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he enables you to think like God. By grace, for you to establish that relationship with God that was lost. And he says, that's up to you. By grace, through faith, you saved. And he says, now, you do this willingly. He said, well, I don't feel like reading. Okay. I said you were saved by grace, through faith, plus nothing. Well, I don't feel like meeting with the saints. Okay. He won't make you. That's what it means being under grace is he's given you everything up front.
For you to go.
What do you want to do?
Right. You can be close to me or
not. Look, when the Lord came, and we skipped that. When the Lord came, Jesus Christ, when the Lord came, he had total control over his actions. And he gave it all up for the submission of his Father. To the submission of his Father. Even to the, when Philippians says, even he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even at the end of the line when he's praying. And he said, if there's any way else, any other way, Lord, Father, is there any other way to do this? And listen, he's going all the way, even before Pilate, where he says, don't you know that I have power to crucify you? And he says, I have a commandment. I have a commandment of my Father. No man taketh my life. I have this commandment. I can give it or I can take it up again. You know, I could stop at any point I want. But because there's so much at stake for my Father, I have to drink this cup. And that's when he talks about obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he said, being in the form of God, he could have said, wait a minute, don't they know who I am? He came unto his own.
His own exceeds enough.
Being the Word, he was the Word of God. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh. And we beheld him as the glory of the Father. No man has seen God at any time, he said, but him, he came to declare him. He said, this is what God looks like. If he were here, this is what he would do. This is what he would say. You know that WWJD?
Mm-hmm.
If he were here, he would do this. He would be like this. But guess what? He was there. And he did do that. So, all right, we're going to pick up next week.
Are you out next week?
Yeah, I'll contact you all. So we will stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for just a little more understanding of being under grace, of what your grace is. We pray that as we go forward that these things might become even more and more clear to us, that we may appreciate where you have us in your purpose and plan and the grace that has been given to us. And we just thank you again for the time we spent. We thank you for those who are here tonight, today. Open our understanding, Lord, as we continue to study and read. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Great lesson.